Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome to episode 143 of the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is, and forever will be, Cincinnati's favorite son. Who day, Justin? Who day?
Who day think gonna beat them Bengals? And it sure as hell wasn't Las Vegas, Oakland, Los Angeles, wherever the hell they're from. There's no city that wants them, I don't think. They keep getting kicked out.
makes sense.
But I guess we will head south to Nashville on Saturday and we'll see how that goes. But in Joe Burrow, we trust. I know that.
Yeah, we lucked. We took the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick to the woodshed on Saturday night. Thank God. Couldn't stay up last night for the Kansas City game as we're recording. We're recording on a very rare snow day for me from work. We got about already probably about a foot to a foot and a half of snow as we're recording. But yeah, took him to the woodshed. That's the first step in getting to the Super Bowl. And we talked about, I'm like, I'd rather play in Kansas City than have your Bengals come to Buffalo on this coming weekend, because Bengals are hot now, man.
I would rather kind of play Tennessee than Kansas City or Buffalo myself. So, I mean, we just played Kansas City and beat them. You know, it's right. Going to be tough for us to probably turn around and beat them again 3 weeks later or whatever. So, and Buffalo seems to be playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, they had a week off. So I think I'd rather face Ryan Tannehill than Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes right now, but obviously Tannehill may not be the problem. It may be that guy running the football for him. So we'll see how that goes.
Frank Bruno, you mean?
Yeah, Frank Bruno would be a good running back. I think he'd be hard to take down.
Well, I think everybody would have his number, pun intended.
Speaking of Frank, I just did a episode of Top Guy Theater with those guys yesterday, and that was a blast. Thanks for having me on. I did. We watched Canadian Stampede 1997, one of my favorite pay-per-views for many reasons, but
shocking.
We had a good time, and I'm excited here to talk some more January 2005 WWE, and we are on the road to Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that we are going to be ranting about the January 24th 2005 edition of WWE Nitro. There you go. That's like the fifth time I've done it since we've been doing this show. WWE Monday Night Raw. This is the go home show for Raw for the Royal Rumble. If you want to take a look at this, why we are going over it with you, it's season 13, episode 4. Like I said, January 24th, 2005, from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Jerry Lawler's on the mics. Justin, this is a lot of things are starting to come together here with this build to Royal Rumble. It's one of my favorite times of the year. As we're you know, as you're listening to this, Royal Rumble is this or next Saturday.
We're six days away from Royal Rumble here on this show, and we are definitely building to it with some Rumble qualifying matches. And obviously the main event here with the Nature Boy and Randy Orton.
This was 2005 2005 WWE, like we mentioned before. It's a hot time in the business. WWE's running rapshot all over the business. This roster is very, very deep, and you'll see that as we go into this to this Monday Night Raw, and even with the SmackDown we did last week, you see this roster, these rosters is so large. You got the brand split now. A couple more years, we'll have ECW be branching off, a whole new roster there as well. So, you know, it's a good time to be part of the business, just not WWE. You got TNA at this time, you got Ring of Honor, you still got all those good promotions out there, independent wrestling as well. So it's definitely a good time to be wrestling fan.
Oh, no doubt. I actually thought this was a fun show. You know, we got some more backstage kind of heat building between Batista and Triple H again this week. Mm-hmm. Started off with a really good, fun, you know, six-man tag match. So overall, good show. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, but one guy that doesn't have heat backstage is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's the opening contest. How can the gods, the darts from my generation take the
All right, Justin. So we start to see this kickoff to the Raw with the Kane and Snitsky rivalry that they've been going on. We talked about it a few weeks ago as well. It's been building for a while, the whole love triangle with Lita and these two and Trish. And it's just like, what the fuck? I just did not care for this. I know you're trying to get this Snitsky over as this, you know, this monster heel and just a monster in general, but Kane is probably one of the better big guys in the business here and of all time. And you just notice that you're not doing much with him, or not with him or Snitsky.
Well, I mean, they're making him a focus here, you know, starting off Raw with their storyline. I don't mind this storyline too bad. I like the two big bad guys going after each other, you know, the choke slam off the ramp through a table last week, and now they're going to build their injuries here this week and have kind of a funny match with Maven. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is. I kind of like where they're going there and building up to their match here at Royal Rumble.
Well, but that's the thing, though. That's the problem. They don't really have the match here at Royal Rumble. They have they're in the Royal Rumble. They're in the match. Yeah. So you're building. That's one of the reasons why I didn't like this whole Kane Snitsky thing. Is you're building it. They're beating the shit out of each other on Raw every week, pretty much. And then you just throw them in the Royal Rumble. Why not have a blow off match between these two guys? And then you just throw them in the Royal Rumble. It's like, the Royal Rumble's a clusterfuck enough as it is, and you're gonna throw this feud into it. I just didn't. This has Bruce Pritchard written all over it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But it is. We'll talk about it when we get to the Royal Rumble, and we'll talk about it when they have this match against Maven later on here on this Raw. But opening match, man, they're starting off hot. They've got a lot of intertwining feuds. This match, we got Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, and Chris Benoit taking on Edge, Christian, and Tyson Tomko. So it's kind of, they're starting to create this possible alliance again of Edge and Christian being the tag team specialists that they were. But yeah, it's starting off hot here, man. Obviously, Edge is feuding here with Michaels. So
this is the second time they've done it. I mean, 2 weeks ago when we watched Raw, they started off with like a 4-man tag or 8-man tag or 6-man tag or something like that. So apparently this is what they were like. They like to do here at that time. And Shawn Michaels is in the spot where he should be, a curtain jerker. First guy out.
How dare you, as you're wearing your Owen sweatshirt. So, but did you, what did you find to be the purposes of this match? Was it just basically trying to milk this Michaels Edge feud to the Royal Rumble? Because that's pretty much all this match is pretty much good for in my eyes.
Well, we've had also hadn't Jericho and Benoit been feuding with Christian and Tomko too?
Pretty much, I think. Yeah.
So I think it's just a way to get them all in the ring together without having, you know, your one-on-one match. overall, though, I thought it was a really good match. I liked Edge in the purple tights.
Oh, yeah.
Thought that looked pretty cool.
You know, this is kind of in that in-between, like we talked earlier the last few weeks, is Edge. It's kind of in-between between the rated R superstar and the, you know, the regular Edge, I guess you could say, because there really wasn't an actual defined character there previous to what he is here. But he's still playing the same music, you know, as we went over a couple weeks ago as well. And it just, Christian is so terribly underrated at this time, I think, as a heel. People just didn't appreciate him, I don't think.
Well, I did like the Benoit suplexed Edge onto Christian at one point in the match. I thought that was a pretty good, cool spot. Overall, like I said, decent. Benoit pins Tomko at the end after HBK gives him the super kick. Benoit rolls him up. Baby faces get the win. The crowd's happy to start the show. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's rolling good to start.
This is kind of an all Canadian curtain jerker too, between Edge and Christian and Jericho and Benoit.
I know, yeah.
Tyson are the only Americans in this this match. But what are you gonna say? I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say at 1:02, Benoit goes for the sharpshooter, that gets broke up. So they are trying to throw in some Canadian spots in there. Overall, like I said, it was good. HBK in the black and red, kind of old school HBK pants too. Yeah. I kind of like seeing that.
Did you like him in his red trunks or red tights or his black tights more?
The red ones always kind of remind me of like 96, 95, you know. He kind of went black there in 97, 98 with red trim or green trim when he was in DX or whatever. But I like the red the most for him. I actually, 96, when he wore the white ones against Brett at WrestleMania 12, I liked that 12, yeah. too. The white and gold.
Yeah, he kind of experimented. After he lost his smile, he had to kind of go with the black tights. So,
yeah, now he's lost his hair.
Or you could go when he won the title there at the heavyweight title there at Survivor Series Elimination Chamber and just wear those brown pants and doesn't know if you're like you get hurt or something or you're crap yourself.
That was the worst ever. Those brown pants, like what the hell?
And he's got the soccer mom haircut in that too. It's like what the fuck, man.
Like now he's lost his hair and one of his eyes. I think one of his eyes is done turned around looking backwards into his head.
Hey, I take offense to that hair joke. You know, sooner or later, I'm going to start to have to wear a hat or something when we Zoom or something.
Oh, speaking of Shawn Michaels, Frank and I have a friendly bet, which has spawned out of Top Guy Theater yesterday. As you guys may know, Frank is a Titans fan. I am a Bengals fan, and they happen to be playing this week to go to the AFC Championship. And if Tennessee wins, I have to come on this show and espouse all of Shawn Michaels' greatest virtues.
So basically,
and if the Bengals win, Frank will be telling us all how great Bret Hart is on the next edition of Top Guy Theater.
So pretty much it's kind of a la what I had to do when the Titans beat the Bills. And yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, all right then. Well, like I said, I'm before you just told me that, I'm just kind of pulling for the Bengals anyways, because We got enough our hands full with KC, and hopefully get through that and hopefully be a copy of what we did earlier in the season. So, but we got our next in-ring segment here with everybody's favorite Stacey Keibler. So roll tight on that.
All the way live.
And seeing that we are in Oklahoma City, the home of good old JR Jim Ross, we got Danny Hodge here. As Stacey Keibler announces that today has been named Jim Ross Day in the state of Oklahoma. And then she then introduces the aforementioned Danny Hodge. When
they did a little video package too, showing JR getting the award. And he says, I'm Oklahoma born, Oklahoma bred. And when I die, I'll be Oklahoma dead.
And he, that was like, that has t-shirt over at boxofgimmicks.com written all over it. No, they introduced Danny Hodge at age 72. He looks pretty goddamn good for 72 years old.
Looked really good.
Peace. I believe he just passed within the last couple of years, but
yeah.
But he jumped over the fucking top rope.
Yeah. And then took a bump.
72.
Then took some bumps, got the boots put to him.
So who at 72, who do you think, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know Terry Funk's age off the top of my head, but. Danny Hodge, who do you think is more nimble at 72, Danny Hodge or Terry Funk?
Mae Young.
Okay. Option C.
Mae Young took better bumps at 92, I think, than anybody else.
Well, hey, I can't argue with that. I'll be honest. I can't really.
This was my favorite segment of the show. Just like a couple of weeks ago when we did Raw and they did the Muhammad Hassan thing with JR and King. I thought this was good too. I loved bringing in Danny Hodge, seeing him. Obviously Stacey Keibler being in there was good. And then Triple H and Ric Flair coming out and shitting all over it and, you know, crapping on all their fun and give, you know, Danny Hodge gets a shot in on Triple H and then Triple H hits him and then him and Ric Flair give the boots to him.
Yeah.
Just overall, I liked the segment.
So, but before we get too far, well, I'll get in the weeds a little bit. This on here is I hate David Flair, by the way. This segment is kind of reiterated that time and time again. Every time I see Stacey Keibler, that she is aged. If you've seen a recent picture of Stacey, she's aged like very like a fine wine. I don't know who's aged better, her or Jennifer Aniston. So
those legs still come up to my chest, I guarantee it.
Those legs can go wherever they want. So like you said, it's just Triple H, they're really healing it up here with him and Flair, you know, taking the boots, giving a low blow to JR. Danny Hodge isn't going to take that, sucker.
Yeah, I just love, you know, Flair and Triple H being the main heels on the show.
Yeah.
They do a really good job of it throughout the show. Just good shit, pal, as someone once said.
You know, the only thing I can really do without in this whole thing is the whole Triple H trying to pedigree Stacey Keibler, right?
He grabbed her and teased it, and then you know, who was it to come out for the save?
Randy Orton.
Yeah, so didn't get the pedigree, but they teased it that she's getting ready to get it.
Right, and they're still building this feud with this whole match between Orton and Triple H for the World Heavyweight title at Royal Rumble. They're still building up this feud between the match with Flair and Orton at the main event here tonight. So all in all, the storytelling here in 2005 there's always hiccups wherever you go, but for the most part, Justin, the booking on this, the storylines are right on point.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I've seen a lot worse currently.
And ironically enough, probably Bruce Pritchard has been part of all of it between 2005, because he was out in what, 2008, I believe.
Yeah.
So,
Is they only had one comedy writer back then, and that was Brian Gewirtz, and he actually knew wrestling content. Whereas now they have just anybody, comedic writer off the street trying to write wrestling, and it's a shit show.
Yeah, they probably got one of the writers from like Sunny. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or something. I don't know.
Well, they fired somebody a couple months ago. Didn't even know who Bobby Lashley was, and she said it in a public interview.
See, my thing is that is far away from the storylines that you may be. Don't fucking admit it. Jesus Christ, lie through your damn teeth. It makes you look like a moron, you know.
This is a random comment.
Yeah.
Just because I just watched this last night and this morning.
Yeah.
On the Peacock, you know, when you guys will be firing up our cock next week here to watch Royal Rumble. Sure. On the Peacock, there is a new documentary out. It's a they've got three episodes out so far on Joe Montana, and his first episode's about him in high school, and then second episode's about being at Notre Dame, and then third episode, him getting drafted and all that. Really good shit. Check that out if you guys are football fans. And I know I got some friends that are 49ers fans. AJ, you know, the king of soul, the white Barry White.
And that rat bastard Mark Nelson.
Yeah, rat bastard Mark Nelson, who, guess who got my first text after the Bengals victory Saturday night? Because that rat bastard Mark Nelson sent me that meme about how no one's ever sent a text about the Bengals winning a playoff game. I'm like, Mark, this is the 25th. You're the 25th person that sent me that fucking meme. And you will be the first person I text when the Bengals win. And he was.
There you go. Well, there you go. So suck on that. And I hope you guys lose to Green Bay on whenever they're playing.
Although I did pick the 49ers to beat the Cowboys, and I was glad to see that. Oh, and all those 49ers fans crying in the stands.
You mean Cowboys?
Oh, yeah, Cowboys fans. And then getting mad and throwing shit at the referees. Classy people down there in Dallas. I mean, you got people like Michael Amand rooting for him and James Elkerai. So what would you expect?
Yeah, what are you expecting, Neil?
And Pondwater Dave.
He likes football. I figured he was just a hockey fan.
Oh, he's Dallas Stars and Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, that's probably.
I'm sure he never played football unless they just put him in and like run the ball between someone's legs, like the big lineman coming after him. Just go between their legs.
Well, he was probably playing peewee football at the age of 35. So
with the kids still.
Well, he's probably tall enough. He's probably, you know, peewee football goes by weight. So usually you get those 13, 14 year olds that.
Pondwater Dave will never forget the day he sacked a 9 year old.
He's probably got that right next to his Von Erich memorabilia too. He's got the picture of him. But this next backstage segment could have really done without this too, is this whole Ric Flair and Triple H and Candice Michelle trying to pull off her dress for a peek. And
that one wouldn't fly now.
That definitely would not.
That's a Me Too violation, right?
Right. Triple H and Ric Flair, we see them entering their locker room to brag to Batista about what they did to JR and Danny Hodge.
Yeah, and Batista's playing up the face here. Like, wait, you beat up Danny Hodge? How old is Danny Hodge? Like
7,200 years
and then he's like, what? You was getting ready to pedigree Stacey Keibler? She weighs 90 pounds. You know, just giving them shit.
Yeah.
You can tell that they're just slowly building, but in not so subtle of a way, a Batista face turn.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he does mention too that he's accepted Eric Bischoff's offer to be in the Royal Rumble and he intends to win it. Batista goes on that the off chance that Orton beats Triple H, he wants to get that title back in Evolution at WrestleMania. So, you know, there's still a possibility there that, you know, Orton may beat Triple H here at Royal Rumble, and then Batista is going to face Orton and get the title back in Evolution, because, you know, at this point, it's all about Evolution.
Yeah.
So
it should be. I mean, you're building up to this title match at Royal Rumble with a former member of Evolution and the leader of Evolution.
Sure, sure. So we're going to see another these backstage segments. I get them. But it's just like, come on, man. Just it's like now. It's like you get these backstage segments every 10 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if you should go with. I mean, it seems like they always want to open up a commercial with a backstage segment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, they finish it going in a commercial with a backstage segment.
You know, I get it if there's a point, but this next one, I'm not going to go over it too much, but it's just Batista has to has his qualifying match against La Resistance. Sylvain Grenier and Rene Dupree in a handicap match. And if he beats both of them, he's in the Royal Rumble match. So.
And he also tells them he's going to stick the flag right up their ass.
When he wins.
Yes.
So obviously, you know, that's going to happen now. So you don't even have to worry about watching that match, and we don't have to go over that match, but, unfortunately we have to go over this match. It's an over the top rope challenge. Tajiri taking on Big Daddy V, aka Viscera.
I had no idea Viscera was still here.
I did not either. I know he was.
This seems late for him to still be in the company.
Right. But I know when they did that whole ECW, WWE thing, whatever you want to call it, in a couple of years, Viscera was part of that as Big Daddy V before he was released and then he unfortunately passed away. But it's just showing his dominance. I don't know why I don't know why you had to have this on the match, but whatever. It is what it is. And then of course, you know, the best part of this episode is Maria backstage in an interview with Tajiri and William Regal. And we'll just move on. It wasn't anything to really hit home about, but we're going to see Batista defeating La Resistance to qualify. The flag goes up his ass. And yeah, that's it. This is for a go home show. This is kind of just staying up to par. You know what I mean, Justin? Because they're getting these feuds like we talked about with the opening match. There's points to this. This next qualifying match is Hassan taking on Val Venus, which honestly, you look at
that's another one. I'm like, Val Venus is still here? I thought about that too.
Yeah. It's like, wait, you're still here? But honestly, man, looking on paper, okay, you get Val Venus in 2005 taking on Muhammad Hassan. You think it's going to be a shit match? And it wasn't terrible. You know, obviously it wasn't a 10-star match in the Tokyo Dome, but it's it proved the point. It got Hassan over and qualified for the Rumble and just shows you how Val Venus still can go.
Yeah, it was it. You know, I heard Bruce Pritchard talking on his show last week about, you know, guys would send him in videos like to get into the company and just show him winning matches all the time. And he would say, show me you putting someone else over. And you know what I mean? Val Venus did that real well here. You know,
but that's something you could actually, you go across the board. You could take that back to the independents. You could take that back to WCW too.
Val Venus, I thought, did a great job of getting Hassan over. They're trying to build him into a legitimate contender, I think, for the Royal Rumble. And you hear JR and King even discuss it. You know, JR just said, I just had a terrible thought. Can you imagine if Hassan wins the Royal Rumble? And, you know, so they're definitely putting a little push into him. And his manager running his mouth on the microphone throughout the whole match was so annoying. It had go away heat with me, but I, you know, that was the purpose of it, I guess, to get that heat, and it did its job.
Yeah. Daivari's an agent now.
Yeah.
So he's got a training school with, he's got a training school in Minnesota with somebody. I forgot who the hell it was. It'll come to me after we're done recording, but, another backstage segment with Triple H, Ric Flair, and Batista. Triple H says he got Eric Bischoff to enter Ric Flair into the match without qualifying just because. He didn't have to. I get the point behind it, but we didn't need the segment.
Yeah.
We didn't really need this segment is Maven is came out and challenged anybody who is ready qualified to the Royal Rumble to put his spot on the line. And we see Kane coming out all bruised and bandaged to answer the challenge. But he said he didn't have Kane in mind. So then Gene Snitsky comes out all bruised and bandaged, and they announce it's a triple threat match. So you know what that's going to happen. Maven's going to lose.
I actually thought that Maven might win. Talking about when we got this new segment of rebooking, I think I would have rebooked this match if I had to pick one. because you've got Kane and Snitsky coming out all banged up, all hurt. Neither one of them can barely move. That should be Maven's chance to win. I would have had those two beat each other up and then Maven just sneak in and pin one of them.
Right.
And then he gets into the Royal Rumble and it gets a lot of crowd heat, I would think.
Right. That would get him over because I think they really missed the boat on him this whole time. You know, obviously he had his own demons and whatnot, and that's well documented. But, you know, after this, we're going to see the pro press conference. They've been planning Austin. He's announcement for The Condemned, which was the one of WWE's early movies.
They announced that they had a big segment. They actually built this at the top of the show. You know, we have a special announcement on Steve Austin, and I'm sure people were thinking, oh God, is he going to be in the Royal Rumble? You know, mm-hmm. what's it going to be? And they, in fact, then announced that they have signed him to WWE Films, which is new at this time, I think, mm-hmm. has signed Steve Austin to a 3-movie deal. So, mm-hmm. and they announced the first one will be Condemned, which I think that was condemned to the ash heap of movie history because I don't ever remember. I don't ever remember that movie.
And if you don't believe that, it plays on USA every once in a while if you got cable or obviously you can get it on any streaming platform anyways. But here we're going to see another Edge promo, or a Edge promo, I should say. Just to comment on this real quick, and we'll move on to the main event, is Edge's promo abilities here have really been on the uptick, I think. Starting mm-hmm. off at the first of the month that we saw him, with his started that feud with Sean, and even going here, we're a little bit of ways off still from the Rated R Superstar. Edge is one of my favorites of all time. And this is really when he started to pick up some steam in general.
Yeah. I could tell that too. His promos are getting better. His facials are good with the promos now. His in-ring work was always fantastic, but now he's starting, you can tell that he's starting to put everything together and he's going to get a main event push here pretty soon.
Yeah. And you can notice if you never watched this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, is you can really tell a wrestler, a fan of wrestling, is one of these professional wrestlers, because Edge, lifelong fan, Triple H, lifelong fan. And you can tell that because they know how to really work in ring, and that shows throughout this time frame. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see another vignette for Chris Masters. We've seen him over the last couple of weeks, debuting soon. I know they just did an episode of Something to Wrestle With on Chris Masters, and
yeah, I listened to some of that the other day.
Was it the masterpiece? It was fairly interesting. Yeah, it's fairly interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's that picture out there of Chris Masters as like a 14-year-old slapdick with China in like 1998 or 7 or something like that. Yeah. It's crazy just in the you know, 8 years or whatever since that time period, the change in that son of a bitch. He was a skinny little kid, and now he's just gigantic.
He's jacked to the gills. So are we here for the main event? Randy Orton taking on Ric Flair with Batista and Triple H in his corner. It's just, like I said, they're just trying to loosen Randy up for Royal Rumble, try to get him a little hurt going into it. You're going to see Triple H kicking out, kicked Randy knees out, or Randy Orton's knee for the double team with Ric Flair, ref bump, the typical stuff here.
This was actually
these guys.
Good main event. I mean,
I didn't say that because it was a bad thing, but no, it's just like your typical.
I just thought that Flair performed well here for, you know, I loved Flair's purple boots. I wish he would have wore purple tights with it, but he had black tights and purple boots and purple knee pads. But I always loved Flair in purple, but those boots look pretty. They look new and shiny and nice on him. Overall, though, they really did a good job. They got rid of a couple refs throughout the match so Triple H could heal and cheat. And they cut Randy Orton's head open where he had the stitches, so he's bleeding all over the place. You don't see a lot of juice like that on Raw.
No, you don't.
So they were just trying to really get over that they're hurting Randy Orton. And they went after his knee constantly. they were really trying to fuck him up so he couldn't perform at the Royal Rumble. You know, that's the whole idea of this match here. And through it all, Randy Orton still survives and is able to beat Ric Flair. So getting his heat back, just overall good, solid plan match, I felt like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get that. But like I said, it proved its point. It got them to the main event, Royal Rumble, excuse me, the main event outside the Royal Rumble match itself, obvious, at Royal Rumble here. So it really served its purpose. They're still building this feud, and still have those planting of the seeds of Batista going against, potentially going against Triple H if he wins the Rumble too. So you got a couple things in the back of your mind with between, okay, is Orton going to win? Is he then going to face Batista? Is Batista even going to win the Royal Rumble? What's going on? It makes the wrestling fans think. And that's something that really worked here at this time compared to today, where it's like, okay, people couldn't give two shits. Making them think. It's like they want to get in, they want to get out.
Yeah.
So speaking of getting in and getting out, let's send it up to the ring with Rich right now for some listener questions.
It's listener questions.
All right. Breaking news, folks. Justin actually has a new segment here that he wants to introduce to each and every one of you. And no, it's not called Why is Bret Hart Great?
I don't know that it's a new segment. It's just something that I thought would be fun here, since we only had a few questions for our listener questions today. So I found something I'm going to read for you, RJ. What the world was like the last time the Bengals won a playoff game, 31 years ago. Are you ready?
Okay.
This January 7th, 1991, actually my sixth birthday. So I was six. That's what the world was like. Their opponent in that game was the Houston Oilers, a team that no longer exists. Michael Jordan had never won an NBA championship ring at this point. Home Alone is the number one movie in the country. Gas was $1.12. Nintendo had just debuted. The number one song was Madonna, Justify My Love. The Jaguars, Panthers, Texans, and Ravens also did not exist at this time period. Obviously, the first text message would not be sent for another year. And that is what the world was like the last time the Cincinnati Bengals won a playoff game.
Coming next week, the last time the Buffalo Bills made it to the AFC Championship game. Oh, wait, that was just last year. No, that was interesting, though. And I was trying to think about that, too. After they won, I'm like, okay, what the hell was I doing in 91? I'm like, oh, crap. I was like 7 years old.
It's been a while, but you know what? It made that victory the other day so much sweeter, and the crowd was louder in hell. I know we got three false starts on the Raiders there in the first half, I think, just because of how loud the crowd was.
Right. No, I get that. So we have, like you said, we only have a couple questions, or one big question, I guess, from our good buddy, fellow top guy, Brad Stanton. He said, I've watched this Jim Ross segment twice. There are a few things I love about it. Some makes me cringe, though, so I don't like that part, obviously. He says, do you think they brought Orton in this too late? This segment, that is. And then JR and Hodge still been in the ring? Or basically, he said, or was that pretty much over and they had to focus on Stacy?
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to get Hodge out of there, because I didn't like I thought those bumps he was taking were a little stiff anyways. I didn't really want him to take any more. The answer to the first question, do you think they brought Orton into this too late? I don't. I think because on the heel side, you want to get that heat up to that level where it's almost going to go crazy. We're almost going to pedigree, you know, Stacy. And then you bring in Randy Orton and to make the save. So I thought that the timing of it and everything was done well. I didn't have a problem with that. As far as the JR and Hodge have been still in the ring, I mean, what are they going to do? What's JR going to do anyways if he was still in there? Is he going to stop Triple H from doing whatever to Stacy? No. So
he tried anyways, and he got a low blow from Ric Flair. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Goddamn, pal. My balls got hit. How am I supposed to come back from that? I need my jewels.
You gotta put some JR's barbecue sauce on them things, slather them up. They'll be nice.
Yes, the barbecue sauce works for anything. It works as
same with the seasoning too. Yeah.
Ball medicine. And put it on your pork chops.
The one thing I will say about this segment, I just thought it was a little too long. They could have really gotten it over without being too long. You know, like I said, you wanted to get Triple H over as that dastardly heel going to the Royal Rumble, Thor coming in for the save. I get it, but it's like, okay, come on. It's something that you still can't do today with Stacey, obviously, at the end here. But
there's lots of other things I like to do with Stacey, though.
Well, that's without question. Damn you, David Flair. So what we're going to do now, we're going to introduce a new segment here on the show. It's called Be the Booker.
Every wrestling fan thinks they know how to book a professional wrestling match. Well, the Kings of Ranting do it, and they do it very, very well. It is now time for everybody's favorite segment, the man with the magical voice, RJ, Cincinnati's favorite son, Justin. It is time for Be the Booker.
All right, Justin. So we came up with this idea to kind of, you know, play that fantasy booking card. A lot of people like to do it. A lot of people can't do it. Some people can. Those people are you and I. So what we're going to do each week is come up with a match that we would like to see. Somebody that was participating in this show, whether they were seen backstage, whether they were involved in a match. You can only use them twice, Justin, between now and forever, pretty much. So we actually have to keep these notes, believe it or not. I know it's going to be hard for me because, you know, we got to put this in a Google Doc and, you know, put it away for a couple months. So you can either use it with somebody that's currently wrestling today or in the past, pretty much anybody outside of 2005. Because it pretty much was a possibility there. So what I had going into this, and then I'll give it over to you, is I would book Randy Orton taking on Hangman Adam Page. Just one of those matches where we talked about, you know, Bruce mentioning, hey, he's getting tapes of people just them winning. Give me a tape of somebody getting somebody over. Randy Orton here, whether you want Randy Orton in here going against a current Adam Page, or you can put a Randy Orton as a Viper, whichever. But Randy Orton is that ring general, a la like what Triple H was here, taking on a young Adam Page, man. You could have, I wouldn't go as far as saying like maybe a Kenny Omega Adam Page match, but you could pretty much be a knockout drag out fight here. You could do whatever you want. Randy Orton can get this get over. I would even say you could see this upset with Adam Page over Randy Orton.
I think those guys line up well together too. They're about the same height, same build.
Yeah.
You know, kind of similar styles in a way. I can see that working and that feud working pretty well. I think you would have Orton being the Viper and Paige being the babyface here. I think it would be a good feud.
Yeah, it's just amazing to see, you know, you got 2005 here with Randy Orton still doing it well on Raw today. It just goes to show you that you take care of yourself and just, you know, stay away from really a lot of major injuries. You could really, really stay in the business for a long, long time. So
AEW needs one more page, three pages. They need Adam Page, Ethan Page, and Diamond Dallas Page. They need to bring him up in there. They have all
bring him back again. Why not? He was in there for a short time with Cody. What the hell? Why not?
The one I thought about, and it's hard to believe, I think these guys probably maybe would have wrestled in Japan or somewhere. If they did, I'm unaware. But to me, Chris Benoit and Owen Hart would be a great feud, great, definitely a great match. Similar styles, kind of like the two we just talked about. I think that Owen died right before Benoit came over to WWE, so they right. never got to wrestle, at least on American television. You know, maybe when Benoit was the Pegasus Kid and Owen was over there at some point, they may have wrestled. I don't think they did, though, but I could be wrong. Let me know. Let us know if anyone knows if that happened. But I think that Owen and Benoit would have been really, really super solid match. I can imagine them fighting for the Intercontinental title, you know, something like that at a pay-per-view. I think that would be good shit, pal.
Yeah, I think the only possibility that we'd have to Google when we get off the air here, but the only possibility that they really would have had to wrestle each other, like you said, would have been in Japan, over or even in another country, whether it be Mexico or Japan or any overseas promotion.
Yeah, I got it right here. This might be the only one. Owen Hart versus the Pegasus Kid. April of 1991. And I don't know where this is. It doesn't tell me. But yeah, they did get a match in.
Was Owen Hart the Blue Blazer? No, he wouldn't have been a Blue Blazer then.
He's in like a yellow. He's in the regular Owen Hart, you know, the cutoff short or the shorts and the singlet, but it's all yellow, which is kind of weird. But yeah, yeah. So they did have a match, but like I said, we never saw it on American TV, so and never got to see that feud actually happen.
It counts.
Yeah.
So like we said, our matches for being the booker this week, mine was Randy Orton versus Adam Page, and Justin's was Chris Benoit taking on Owen Hart.
April 1991, they wrestled a few months after the Bengals won their last playoff game.
Something else that happened in 1991, the last time the Bengals won a playoff game. So another guy that wins each and every time is our good buddy, the one, the only, the Elijah. The Elijah. Now he's the Elijah. He's not a Elijah. He's the Elijah. So he'll come over here and hit the button.
Hope he doesn't play a guitar. Yeah. Like the other Elijah.
That's Elias, by the way, but
oh well,
it's okay. He heard. Now he's crying. Good job, Justin. Jesus Christ. Come here. You can still hit the button. Don't mind Justin. You know, guys, every once in a while, you kind of need a little bit more incentive, a little bit more motivation to get you out of that funk that you're in and truly, truly get you as happy as possible in your own skin. Today, I have a great solution for you. It's BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own personal licensed professional therapist, and it'll connect you in a safe and private online environment. And it's simply so convenient that it'll be able to have you start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is a professional counseling done securely online. You can send a message to your counselor anytime, anywhere, and you'll get a timely and thorough response. Plus, you can schedule your own weekly video or phone sessions, all without having to sit in that uncomfortable waiting room. Because, you know, guys, sometimes you want to go talk to somebody and you don't want to just sit there and kind of wander around the room with your eyes and just say, okay, what's going on with this person or what's going on with that person? BetterHelp, in fact, has so many people using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And for listening today, we want you to start living a happier life. So, as a listener, you will now get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor today at BetterHelp.com/listener. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/listener. give yourself and your wallet a break. Enjoy delicious, affordable meals delivered to your door and ready to go in 6 simple steps. Every plate is 50% cheaper than a meal made from grocery store ingredients. So now is the perfect time to focus on saving money easily. At first, I was a little bit skeptical, thinking that meal kits might be just a little too expensive. But now I'm convinced you can get the same deliciousness at a much lower price. Let Every Plate plan, shop, and deliver everything you need to cook a delicious meal at a delightful price. And the best part about it is you can choose from between 17 recipes that change each week and swap proteins, veggies, and sides to your liking. You can't get that anywhere else, folks. So it goes to tell you that when I'm cooking, I want to be in, out, and get that meal on the table for my son, for my wife, and for my loved ones. And Every Plate is the best meal service out there today. With that being said, head over to everyplate.com right now and pay just $1.79 per meal by going to that website and using the promo code RingsideRant179. Get started with everyplate.com for just $1.79, folks. It's unbelievable. So head over there right now and use a promo code, like I said, RingsideRant179. It's a $104 value. I'm just so excited, I can't say it enough. Head over right now and use the promo code RingsideRant179 at everyplate.com and pay just $1.79 per meal. Thanks to our friends over at everyplate.com.
Let's get musical. Let me hear your body talk.
All right, Justin. Our second favorite segment of the week is here. Much to the chagrin of some people. Hopefully, Amy, you actually liked that music bed that we played for Being the Booker. That was specifically for you, because we know how much you love the Four Horsemen and Ric Flair. So there you go. So, Justin, what is the knee slapper of wrestling themes that you're going to add to our list this week, which is now growing and growing each and every week, man? I still can't believe how many freaking songs we have now. We have a total of 38. We're going to add two more to get up to an even 40. Top 10, Steve Austin, NWO, Undertaker, Bret Hart, Demolition, Harlem Heat, Jake Roberts, Ric Flair, the Four Horsemen, and number 10 is Dusty Rhodes, baby. So, Justin, what are you adding this week?
My pick is someone that we talked about a lot on this show this week. Somebody that I really enjoy his music, and it just gets you fired up. When I went to the pay-per-view, whatever it was called, in Jacksonville last year, the AEW pay-per-view.
Sure.
They announced the announcers at the beginning of the show, and everybody gets fired up when this song hits. So go ahead and play it.
All right, it keeps on playing, and dun 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 dun. Yep. Okay, there you go. So, Justin, we got man, like I said, we got a long list here to add this wonderful theme to, and or prep song or whatever you want to call it. College fight song. There you go. That's the one I was looking for. God damn it. God damn it, pal.
So it is simple but effective. It goes with the character, obviously.
Sure.
I like the drum beat at the beginning, you know, and mm-hmm. As soon as you hear it, you know what it is. I like it. It's not, I think this is our first theme song of a non-wrestler.
Correct.
So it's a song that you didn't hear every week on TV or anything like that. But when Jim Ross, like this week, is involved in an angle, has to go out to the ring, it's going to play. And they still play it to this day in AEW when he comes out for every show. So it does have some stay power with him. I don't know. Where do you think we should put that one, RJ?
You know, it's tough. I don't want to disrespect JR by any means, but
don't fucking knock a slobber knocker on your head if you.
Yeah, I would honestly, man. I would honestly, I could go as high, or I'd say, I give you a window. I would say at 30, right above Vader, between him and JBL there. Even 30. We could put it higher. I don't think.
We could put it lower too. See, I think it would go after Mysterio's WCW music.
You think so? Yeah,
Because.
Yeah, I see that there, yeah.
So that's where I think we should slide that in.
Yeah, let's put him in there at number 34. Like you said, it goes with JR, obviously, but at the same time, it's like, okay, it's Oklahoma's fight song. Okay, you can hear it every Saturday in Oklahoma. So
it wasn't written for JR per se.
right. A la not like my theme this week. Another non-wrestler. Well, he is a black belt, though. Well,
that's true. And so, no, it's not Bruce Pritchard.
And no, it's does Bruce Pritchard even have theme music outside of Brother Love, of course?
Yeah, all I know would be Brother Love.
Yeah, that would be the only thing he have. But
and spend my days working hard.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be? That would be J, or that would be Double J,
that's,
though.
That's well, that's his new theme music. He's stealing it like he does everything else.
Or, yeah, something like that. Anyways, so this one is actually, I'm dedicating this directly to one, Miss Lauren Yaffe. With that being said, you know what it is. I'm back.
Making things better.
Cause your opinion don't matter. This maniac is gonna step on whomever.
Okay, right. So that is one, the only Mr. Eric Bischoff. I was laughing so hard, Justin. I totally forgot watching his, obviously we're only watching it because it's through YouTube, but I totally forgot he was wearing the damn Steve Austin vest there when he had his feud there in his first run with the company. I'm like, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, that song I've always loved. It's very memorable. I sing it whenever somebody says I'm back, I start to sing that song.
And I'm better than ever.
Yeah. And it almost sounds like Eric is singing it. Like it sounds like his voice. I know he can't sing that fucking good, but it does. It does sound like him singing it.
So, and like you said, with what JR's music really did for him, this did it for Eric so much better, because whenever you think Eric Bischoff, he's back and he's better than ever, because whether he's coming back his second go around there with WWE, whether he was debuting there with WWE on Raw, whether he's going to AEW. Actually, no, he doesn't do it on AEW, obviously. But regardless, he's doing live shows. He's doing his podcast. He's doing this. You know, when you hear that, like you said, I'm back and I'm better than ever. You think Eric Bischoff. So
I think we can rank this pretty high.
I think this is going really high, to be honest with you. How high? That's the question.
Well, I think I can put it in front of Goldberg, or maybe
really?
Even
you're gonna go that high. Okay,
maybe even in front of Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
As long as it's above Honky Tonk Man, I don't give a shit. Yeah, yeah. I would go between Eddie Guerrero and WCW and Brutus the fucking Barber, Ben.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot for
because
it.
That's, and you guys can always let us know. And I know Amy Vaughn, I'm sure, will let us know that Eric Bischoff is way too high this time. And you can certainly let her know that, Mr. Bischoff. So anyway, so our additions this week is Mr. Eric Bischoff at number 18 and Mr. Jim Ross at number 35. So if you guys want to let us know what you think, you can hit us up on the Twitter gimmick at @_ringsiderant. He is at JD2040, or you can just simply go to caspi.com/ringsiderant. All our links are there. All our platforms that we're on, all our networks are on, our merchandise is there. I want to give a quick shout out to Brad Stanton for getting hooked up with some merch. He's got a hoodie and a t-shirt going his way. So we appreciate that. If you want to visit, we're at whatamaneuver.net. Or like I said, just go to caspi.com/ringsiderant. And the link will be right there on the website. So
where was Mike's question at this week?
He told me, because I DM'd him, I said, "Hey, bud, do you have any questions?" He's like, no, I don't want Justin to yell at me this week.
So I finally wore him down.
So you finally wore Money Mike down. And he's not asking any questions this week. So
turned him into a pillar of salt.
Yeah, well, if you could always go over and DM him on Twitter there. I won't give that his handle out on air, but you can just search him and make sure he's doing all right. You know,
Got to ask me plenty of questions yesterday on Top Guy Theater. So maybe,
well, maybe
just
that was why then.
He
maybe
got
he
it out
of
his
questions.
System.
Yeah, maybe he was out of questions. Who knows? I didn't think that was possible, but I guess it is.
Ad free shows, we do need a t-shirt on Box of Gimmicks that says Michael McClanahan ask.
Exactly, because he does it all the time with
every
with,
show with first, Ke- well, first question
with Kyoto, even with Kyoto. He was, I think he was one of the top ones with Ask Conrad too.
And now they have made it to where they're going to play our questions and we send in voicemails. So now we're going to get to listen to Money Mike's beautiful voice ask his own questions now.
You know, Money Mike could very well be, you know, those audiobooks that everybody gets. He could read audiobooks. There you go. He doesn't have to be a CPA anymore. He could read audiobooks for a living now. So Money Mike, take that into account. Think about that.
What are we doing? Oh, I know what we're doing next week.
So next week, we are going to be going over our pay-per-view of the month is the Royal Rumble 2005. So with that being said, you have had two questions previous to this. If you follow us on Twitter at @_ringsiderant, you've seen these first two questions. We've had two people. They're tied right now, Justin. I won't say who, but you can almost guess. Anyways, answer those two questions in addition to the question that's going to be on
the show.
So you get those three questions, send them over to either myself at _ringsiderant or at Justin at JD2040, or if you have our personal numbers, whichever. Let us know what the three answers are, and then we will put your name into a hat, literally into a hat, and pick your name, and that person will have the opportunity.
RJ has plenty of hats.
Of course I do. You should know that by now.
I am excited to watch the Royal Rumble with a special guest next week. Royal Rumbles have always been one of my favorite pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. I always love the Royal Rumble match. It's always fun to see who's coming out next, what legends are going to be there, who's going to win. So I imagine we'll probably do the main event or the world title and the Royal Rumble watch along next week. RJ?
Yeah, we'll leave it up. That was my guess. I'll obviously leave that up to, we'll leave that up to the winner of the contest. Like I said, but I'm pretty sure that'll be what we'll plan on, but get your answers in. Seriously, guys, we really enjoyed the first one we did with Amy last month. And we're looking forward to this month with Royal Rumble 2005. Next Friday. So keep them coming in. We'll be going over that. It's one of the low keys, good pay-per-views in general too, Justin. So we got that to look forward to as well.
I think it'll be my first time watching it.
And before we get to our ranter of the week, you got anything else for this week, Justin?
No, just Hude, go Bengals, please. Let's just win one more. And then maybe we'll get to see those Bills here in a couple weeks.
And as always, stand up, mount up, and let's go, Bills Mafia. And let's send it over to our ranter of the week, the man of many hats. We could call him the GOAT of YouTube producing. He is the producer of the Ric Flair Uncensored podcast, Mr. Steve Kaufman. So let's send it over to him right now, the ranter of the week.
Hi, hello, Steve Kaufman here. After his second cup of coffee, to rant about Raw Season 13, Episode 4. This episode from Oklahoma, it has it all. A terrible chroma key on the match graphics. 5 different billboards for a 2-minute Steve Austin announcement where the announcement is that he's doing movies and therefore not wrestling. The thing you're actually watching. Tyson Tomko. Remember Tyson Tomko? A JR Day segment that would have been best served not on television. Brand equity. Remember brand equity? Triple H wanting to rape Stacy Keibler. Royal Rumble qualifying matches. Remember Royal Rumble qualifying matches? Batista having gay panic while burying the entire tag team division. Muhammad Hassan. Remember Muhammad Hassan? Hot take. I think that character could have been the most over babyface in the company if they had kept up with the original nuance of the character, but had all the heels be xenophobic and racist. But that's a completely different rant for a different time. Val Venus. Remember when Val Venus paid his taxes? Ric Flair entering the Royal Rumble match like he had anything to prove in 2005. Ultimately, this show sucked. It opened with a 6-man tag that lacked any stakes and closed with a very fine singles match between Ric Flair and Randy Orton that also had no stakes whatsoever. 2005 was a time when the roster had a lot of fresh faces and room for even more. Problem was, once Vince McMahon found his favorites, like Batista and John Cena, everyone else was going to be cannon fodder. This show sucked, but Ringside Rant does not suck. I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter, @SteveKaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N.